Prophet's Voice podcast. We are excited that you have made a decision to join us. We are looking forward to our conversation for today. My name is Elder Gwen Cohen, and I am excited that you are here. I am in the studio, like I said, with the most amazing engineer on the planet, in the presence of Marcus Mooney with Opay Productions, Original Purpose and Intent. Marcus, you in the house?
I am in the house. How are you?
I am good. Yeah. I am good. It's good that you're in the house. And of course, I always say this, y'all. You know this. I got the coolest husband on the planet. Coolest guy on the planet in the presence of Elliot Cohen. Elliot, are you in the house?
Yes, I am, and I'm excited to be here with you.
All right. Hey, how about those apples? I'm excited to be here with me, y'all. What can I say? But in any event, we are the Prophet's Voice. Our business, we are about the business of bringing your purpose to life. If you feel like you are discouraged, despondent, in despair, because you don't know what it is that God has created you to do, or you want to reconnect to what God has created you to do. We are the people you need to talk to. We are about the business of encouraging and empowering you and energizing you. We do what is called transformational prophetic coaching. And what that does is it aids you in discovering what God has for you to do. It helps you to identify those hidden barriers that keep you from going forward. You know, how we just stop and start. And we believe in helping you understand that every aspect of your life, no matter how good or bad, God was in it.
Amen.
So today we are going through again chapter 17 of our book, Real Life, Real Time, Real Talk with a Very Real God. You can find it on Amazon. And we are excited that, again, we're at chapter 17.
Yes.
What is chapter 17, Marcus?
After all they've done. Not anything I've done.
Right, because I didn't do nothing.
I ain't do nothing.
Right.
After all that they've done, how do they get elevated and promoted?
Come on, somebody. Say that one again. I think you need to say it again so everybody can really hear it.
For the people in the back.
Right, for the people in the back, in the balcony.
After all they've done, how do they get elevated and promoted?
Okay, we'll get started.
Yes, go.
This is loaded, I know. Says, when I first started in ministry 20 plus years ago, that's me. Now, actually, it's about 35 years. I went through what I called my period of comparison. Y'all know what that is? I know somebody who's listening to us, who sees us, knows what that is. I compared myself to everybody. People were my point of reference. If I preached like them, then I preached well. If I served like them, then I did well. If I shouted like them, then I shouted good. Unfortunately, my points of reference were the ministers I knew rather than the word of God. It was a shallow, unenlightened place. But honestly, y'all, that's precisely where I was. Anybody been there? No Amen. Shame in my game. Now, for there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I was there. I remember my dad saying to me, honey, now that you're in ministry, I don't want you to get discouraged. What a strange statement for him to make. How could I possibly get discouraged in ministry? I know somebody out there is laughing at me, right? This is God's work. These are God's people. God loves them and they love God. They're all about the business of God with all the beautiful attributes of God. Everybody loves God and loves their neighbor as themselves, right? Right. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I thought everybody loved everybody. Everybody cared about everybody. Everybody wanted everyone to be successful. I knew enough about the word to know surely we esteemed each other more highly than we did ourselves. Philippians 2 and 3, y'all. Anybody laughing? I know y'all laughing at me. Y'all thinking, where was she from? What planet was she on? And how did she come up with that? Well, yes, I was naive. I had an idea grounded in the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. I figured we were all neighbors. Okay, you're probably laughing. Much to my chagrin, I learned that wasn't the case at all. We all have issues. Let me repeat it. We all have problems. We all have issues. We're all looking to the Lord to help us with those issues, some perhaps greater than others. That's not where I was. I was in my comparison space. Anybody been in a comparison space? Marcus, you been in a space where you just compared yourself to everybody around you?
Unfortunately, I have been there. And, you know, one thing that you said earlier, my reference point was off. It was just off.
Back to that GPS again.
Yes, back to that
had
GPS.
Had to recalibrate things.
I'm trying to mimic all of these other people.
Come on.
When the ultimate example of life is the one who gave me life,
right?
First of all, and is the one who wants to see my life be everything
yes.
that he created it to be and that purposed it
that's,
to be.
And that's something.
You know, and I'm sitting up trying to get a point of reference from everybody and everything else.
Mm.
And you know what? How crazy is it that a creation goes to other creations in order good. To get what it should what it needs
from the creator.
From the creator.
Right.
The only one who has the blueprint.
Right.
You
right.
know, that's
right.
like the elbow saying, I'm hurting, and it's trying to talk to the hand. You know,
right.
Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? It's
right.
like, no, hold on.
You yeah, know? It's like the, it's like, and so everybody's big on AI. I love AI. I'm going to say that right now. I do. I love AI. It is not of the devil. It is how you use it.
Yes.
I just had to put that plug
it's
in there.
It's a tool.
It's a tool. It's another tool to promote the kingdom of mm-hmm. God. And so it's like the AI going to some more AI rather than going to the program.
That's right. That's right.
Now, I know there are folk out there, we thinking, yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. AI is very interesting, and mm-hmm. we will see the benefits, and we will see the ramifications of it as we go forward. But it's all in how we use it.
And we'll see those things not because of AI, but because of the programmers.
But because of the program.
That's
go ahead
go,
now. That's
all right,
it.
All right. Go
that's
ahead,
it. Here we go.
Ahead.
So the further I got into ministry, the more I began to see the truth of the people I had compared myself with. It was challenging to adjust. I couldn't fathom people in ministry who were mean, committed adultery, and were liars and thieves. What? These couldn't possibly be the people I was comparing myself to. Now, mind you, I wasn't a perfect person either, but I certainly saw myself closer to God than those folk. And yet promotion and elevation eluded me. I couldn't understand how God would allow this with all their issues. And then I had to ask myself, what Bible was I reading? Come on, Marcus, help me with that.
Man,
what Bible was I reading?
You know, you might have been in Elder Gwen Cohen chapter 3, verse 9. You know, we all got our own Bible, don't we? It's in there, you know, and we just, we'll look a scripture up in a heartbeat
right.
and regurgitate that thing.
Right.
You know, and that's just the truth of it.
And again, something wasn't added up. I was frustrated. I compared my faithful, y'all with me here, Holy Ghost-led activities to those I saw elevated and did not understand my prideful self and self-centered actions. I thought if I worked hard enough, showed up a lot more, stayed long enough, and preached vigorously each time, promotion would automatically be mine. It turned out I wasn't looking for God. I was looking for a way up the proverbial ministry ladder.
Wow.
Let's talk about that. That what do we call it? Climbing the corporate ladder?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about climbing the ministry ladder.
You know,
this ain't Jacob's ladder.
No.
This is the ministry ladder that yeah. says that I'm in this so that each rung is a promotion. Each rung is an elevation. And I'll do whatever I need to do to get there
mm-hmm.
and compromise even my faith mm-hmm. and myself in order to get where I think I ought to be, or whether in comparing myself to others, think that I should be right there with them too.
You know, it's unfortunate, but I see this a lot, and in particularly in ministry, that spirit of competition. You know,
yeah,
it's huge. It's one of those things that I feel like is really hurting the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, I'm of course my perspective is skewed because I am Black, and I deal with us more than uh-huh. the other community. Just being honest,
but that's all right.
I just see it really hurting us a lot in the Black community,
mm-hmm.
and in other ways as well. The area is not just the church, but you know, it's very impactful because. You hear the old sayings, crabs in a barrel, all that stuff.
I was just thinking that, crabs in a barrel.
Crabs in a barrel. We're holding mm-hmm. each other back. Mm-hmm. It's to me, it's a deeper spiritual, thing that's going on here. It's the ramifications of what happened to us in days where we were in captivity, because mm-hmm. we were, you know, pitted against one another. And we, unfortunately, as a people, we have never truly lost or gotten rid of that.
And we forget that, well, unfortunately, we did engage it because we were in survival mode. Mm-hmm. It came down to, I'm trying to survive. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to keep my life. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to navigate through this horrible space that I've never been in. Mm-hmm. And I'm pitted that way, but I'm pitted against you. And the issue is survival, mm-hmm. because I recognize that if I don't do this thing or if I don't act this way, I may not survive.
That's so good.
I may not survive. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we've carried that over, this sense that I've got to do this thing to survive. The kingdom of God is big enough for everybody.
Yes.
It's not a place of survival. It's a place of thriving.
That's right. That's right.
It's a place of promotion. It's a place of elevation, but it doesn't have to look like everybody else's.
Cattle on a thousand here. Look, everybody got beef. We good.
We good. Yeah, we good. I don't have to. My ministry doesn't have to look like yours to be deemed successful.
Amen. Amen. I mean, truthfully, you know, if we truthfully, you know, really, really understand, God is so much more vast than what we see.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and so we want to put him in these little boxes and say, well, if it doesn't look like that, it's not real ministry or it's not real. How dare you take God and put him down and say, nah, you got to do it exactly like this. God does not operate.
He didn't do everything.
Huh?
Here's the part for me. If he could do the kinds of creations that he's done, when he did the kinds of creations that he did, mm-hmm. why does everything have to look alike? Everything that he created does not look alike.
That's right.
Why I say this to a lot of my Euro brothers and sisters when we get into these conversations mm-hmm. about racism and social injustice and all prejudice. And I say, well, I don't understand why y'all got to feel like, or some of you all, you know, feel that everything has to look the same way when in fact, everything that God created doesn't.
That's right.
There's even different colored dirt.
You know what I'm saying?
So help me understand why everybody has to look a certain way or function a certain way, and yet we live on a planet that God created things that don't look the same, don't function the same, but always work together.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Fall don't get mad at winter.
No. Uh-uh.
Spring don't get mad at summer.
You cannot confuse God's order and the way that he arranged things
right.
with a cookie cutter mentality.
With a cookie cutter mentality.
Because that's not how it goes. Yes, everything has a purpose mm-hmm. and everything has an mm-hmm. order about it. Mm-hmm. So when he put that tree where he put it, he put that tree there for a reason. It's a mm-hmm. purpose. But that tree has its own identity.
Has its own identity. But it can function in a space with other trees and not change its identity.
It doesn't have
to. If you plant an apple tree in the middle of an orange grove, it's still going to produce apples.
And they won't turn orange.
And they won't turn orange. Right. I like that.
Citrus
and they won't
apples.
Look, they won't be citrus apples. They'll be apples. Or you can put an orange tree in the middle of an apple orchard.
Yes.
It's still going to produce oranges.
That's right. That is right. So, so good.
And we still benefit from if they're planted in an apple grove, we don't know, because by the time they get to the store, we still enjoy them.
That's right. That's right.
We still engage them. So, okay. All right. We're there. Okay. Let's see. Oh, I didn't understand the concept of forgiveness. I didn't recognize the purpose of problem. I'm talking about me, y'all. I don't know what all y'all went going through. I wanted to be elevated and promoted because I saw the elevation and promotion as a sign to others that I was closer to God than they were.
Mm.
I compared their lives and lifestyles to mine, and mine seemed to measure up better.
Wow.
Yet all around me, God was promoting and elevating people who did or had done things I wouldn't even consider thinking about, much less do.
That's good.
I shared my feelings with a close friend I was talking about early today. She's gone to glory now. I remember her looking at me and smiling. Her first response was, "You don't see yourself as one of them, do you?"
One of them.
That would be my friend. And she would say it, You don't see yourself as one of them, do you? That's how she talked. Okay. She went on to say, could it be their elevation and promotion is tied to their acceptance of who they are and their need for God?
Ooh, wow.
Bam. Mm. Perhaps what you want has eluded you because it's based on you and not on him. Bam.
Wow.
I had to pick my face up off on that. Rocks. I remember. I was mad at her for probably about 3-4 days.
Mm-hmm.
She called me. I don't want to talk to you right now. I know you mad at me, but I love you. What another profound thought. Elevation and promotion are not tied to performance or comparison,
but
to how much I need him.
Yeah, drop the mic, drop the book.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Drop everything.
I can't say nothing.
I mean, how much I need him. Oh, my goodness. And you know, I'm looking around and I'm thinking, God, I want what you got for me. And I want what I need from you. But you know what? As you grow me up, what I also want, I want others to get what they need from you too. And I want them to get what you got for them too. Even if it doesn't look like what you're doing over here.
Hey, I'm not a singer. I need thee. Oh, I need thee.
Every
hour I need thee. Oh, bless
me,
me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee.
And how impactful is that last line?
Yes.
I come to thee. We got to get to him.
Got to get to him. I really needed him. I needed him to stop myself compare. I needed him to stop comparing myself to others. I needed him to realize I couldn't make it without him, couldn't live without him. I needed him to understand it wasn't about elevation and promotion. It was about relationship. I needed him to understand he doesn't tie my uplift to my past sin and doesn't connect my elevation to my inadequacies. I needed him to help me comprehend promotion is attached to my relationship with him. My desire to seek him, obey him, and carry his glory, even when I've come short of it.
Wow. Amen.
Say what? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I want to say to our audience, who are you comparing yourself to, and what are your motives for doing that? And are you willing to acknowledge your shortcomings rather than those of others? We spend so much time in this age of comparison. We have young girls that compare themselves and body shaming themselves because they're comparing themselves to what has been given as a standard for beauty.
Mm-hmm.
We compare ourselves to other people for a standard of intelligence. I remember I was at a conference. I had facilitated a conference all weekend, Friday, Saturday. It was Sunday. I was exhausted. And a young woman walked up to me and she said, Elder Cohen, she said, I want to be able to preach like you and teach like you and do the things that you do. And I remember standing there looking at her and saying to myself, but do you want my story? Mm-hmm. There's a story behind what I do. There's a weight that comes with what we do. Do you want the weight? When we're comparing ourselves to others, the question becomes, do you want to carry their weight?
Amen.
Are you able to carry the weight? And I went on to share with her, are you able to carry the weight of being ostracized by family? Are you able to carry the weight of not knowing who you are? Are you able to carry the weight thinking your birthright is one thing and only to discover it's another? Are you able to carry the weight of depression, clinical depression? Are you able to carry the weight of a nervous breakdown? Are you able to carry the weight of an aneurysm? I'm just telling my story. Are you able to carry the weight of wondering, are you going to lose your mind?
Mm.
On a daily basis, are you able to carry that kind of weight in this quest for elevation and promotion?
Mm.
Are you able to carry the weight of growing up thinking you were never good enough? You were never smart. No matter what you did, you could make straight A's. It was never good enough. You get awards. It was never good enough.
Wow.
Can you carry that kind of weight? And then I said, and if you feel you can, if you feel you can carry that, then you can begin to ask God about doing it the way I do it. There's a weight that you carry. Mm-hmm. Allow yourself to step into the weight of what you carry and be who God has called you to be based on what he's given you to carry.
That's good.
And not what he's given someone else.
That's right.
And that's the thing about after all they've done, how do they get elevated and promoted? Now it's, Marcus says, after all I've done, how is it that God continues to elevate and promote me after all I've done?
Amen.
Your thoughts, Marcus, talk to me.
It's heavy in here, to tell you that, you know, his ways are not like our ways. That's why we have to get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have to have a relationship with him and be open to be led and guided by his spirit, by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his burdens are easy, his yoke is light.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to take on all the stuff. And even if we get to a point, like you said, where we're trying to master carrying this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
How far will we get?
Without him.
Without him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trip that I no longer am interested in taking in my life.
Right.
I'm good.
I want one set of footprints in the sand.
That's it. Carry me, man.
I don't need to. Just carry me.
Carry me.
Because sometimes the weight of life and who we are can be overwhelming. It's particularly when we see it in the natural, it can be extremely overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that anything, that it doesn't take away from whether someone's weight is greater than someone else. What is so amazing about it is that it's not something that he doesn't know we carry already.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that he hasn't already prepared us to carry. David says in Psalm 139, you guys have heard me say this before, somewhere I think around the 14th or 15th, because we get caught up in the I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But David says, all the days of my life were written in your book before I even knew them.
Wow. That's awesome.
Which means that God knew David would sleep with Bathsheba, kill Uriah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And still made him king.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And still blessed him and favored him to be king.
That's awesome.
Still elevated him and promoted him. Isn't that something?
That is something. I mean, he's showing us how powerful and how wonderful. And how loving. And
that's
how
it. How loving.
And how great.
How loving he is.
It's the greatness of God. It's so much in there that we can't fathom just how much is in there.
We can't.
There's a rap lyric I had in a song one time is, we need your protection, your guidance and direction so we know which way to go at life's intersections. Because life throws
say
you.
That again.
I'm trying to make sure I'm saying it right. It's been a little while, but I think it's we need your protection, your guidance and direction so we know which way to go at life's intersections.
Mm.
Because life has a lot of intersections.
Yes, it does.
And, you know, we can travel the way we feel like, you know, it's more comfortable for us.
Mm-hmm.
We can travel based on what other people are doing. So we're following cars and we just going wherever they go, right? Even in ministry, because we want to achieve what it seems like they're achieving, right? Mm-hmm. So, man, you know, but there's nothing like having that GPS be the one and only maker and creator, and him actually leading and guiding us, you know, and giving us all the tools that we need in order to get where he needs us to go.
In order to get where he needs us to go.
You know, don't waste.
And it's about where he needs us to go.
That's right. 110%. And when you're in that and you're really in that, it's something how you become the only car on the road. You're no longer worried about what that car over there is doing or
right.
what that car over there is
right.
doing. And if he has you focused on another car, it's because there's a purpose in that. veering. You know, it's like, you know, you need to help them. You need to do this, or you need to go here with them, and y'all need to drive together.
Right. Or they're going to break down, and when they break down, you're going to be on the road right there to help them.
Hop in with me. Let's go. You know,
right.
And when we travel this road of life with him like that, I mean, it. You know what competition? We playing for the same team. We have the same goal, end game. Where is the competition?
Why are we competing?
Why are we competing?
Why does everybody want to be a superstar on the court?
My little rec league coaching. If my boys got on there and all of a sudden start playing defense on each other, I lose it. I don't know what to do with y'all. Y'all playing against each other? Matter of fact, I tell them myself, we our first game was this morning. It was so early, too early for the kids. So early. and we lost very close game. But, you know, one of the things we're going to have to talk about in practice is, why did you guys not play together?
Yeah.
You're on a team.
That's why you lost.
That's
why we losing. Come on, y'all. That's why we losing, because we're not playing together.
We are on
the same team. We're not supporting one another. I'm talking about the church. We're not supporting one another. We're not lifting one another up. We're not building one another up. But we're playing on the same team. We all shouting on the same, mm-hmm. for the same team. We all shouting and praising and hollering and screaming, rolling around on the floor, speaking in tongues, doing all of that. And then we get up,
mm-hmm.
and we compete with one another, when in actuality, we're all on the same team. And the enemy's glad we are, because the more we compete with one another, the less unity we have.
That's right.
The less oneness that we have.
That's right.
And when we don't have unity, when we don't have oneness, we can't win the game.
Here's the kingdom thing for me. Where does your faith lie?
Mm-hmm.
Because if your faith is in God, we can do whatever we need to do together. It doesn't matter what it is.
We can do all things.
We can do all things.
Yes.
If your faith is in yourself and you mask it with religion.
Yes. That's good.
We're going to end up clashing.
Yeah. And we're going to end up losing.
And we're going, because the reason why we have to clash is because we're not going to be able to play together, because I'm not in it to lose.
Right.
I'm on a winning team already. So why would I get over here with you and start chasing after, you know, listening to a coach that, no. We have to make sure that at the end of the day, we are in alignment with the one who has all things,
mm-hmm.
in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
All greatness is in him.
Is in him.
And he's just siphoning it right through us. Boom, boom, greatness.
Right,
boom,
right.
Boom, his greatness. Boom, boom. Man, what is it about Quinn? What is it about her? It's his greatness.
It's greatness.
It's flowing through.
It's not me.
It ain't her.
It ain't me.
It's his greatness.
That's right.
And when you understand that, you see it, you're like, oh, I connect with that.
Mm-hmm.
I connect with that,
mm-hmm.
because I see it. I know what that's like, because
mm-hmm.
he got his greatness flowing through me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you great because
of
you,
if we come together,
are we even greater?
We're even greater.
But if you great because of you, well, I can't rock with that.
I can't rock with that. That's right.
Because what if you don't decide to do it today? You tired today, or you don't want to fool with me today? You don't want to do me
today.
Right. You know what I'm saying? No. God never get tired of me.
That's good.
Never.
God will never get tired of me. Ah, yes. Well, we are excited. You can tell. It's a different flow. It's a different flavor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you have to wait on God to begin to renew you and refresh you, replenish you, so that you can come out. Elliot said to me one time, when I really was complaining about feeling like I was not moving fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I know you feel like you've been benched, but I need you while you're benched to watch the game. Pay attention to the game.
Wow.
Learn everything you can learn while you're benched about the game.
I got too much respect for him, so I'm not going to throw anything over there.
That's what he told me.
I want to throw something at him right now.
He said, sit on that bench and learn everything there is about the game.
Amen, brother.
Watch the game. And he kept telling me that, just sit on the bench, watch the game, so that because the coach is going to call you. He's going to call you. He's going to call you into the game. And when he calls you into the game, you can go and you can perform excellently, because you know everything there is to know while you learned it while you were sitting on the bench. So I say to those of you that feel like you're not being elevated and promoted, stay on the bench. Watch the game. Learn everything there is to learn. Study to show yourself approved. Worship in your private time. Give God everything that is due him, because he is. There is no one that doesn't get to play. This game will not be over until everybody that believes in him, loves him, trusts him, has faith in him, will get to play. He said, and so do that. And he told me, and this is the other thing, I don't know if you remember, he said, because when you go in the game and you're the one where the final point hinges on, you want to be able to make the shot. You want to be able to make the shot, because guess what? At the end of it, nobody remembers the whole game. They'll just remember the winning shot.
Wow, that's so good.
And that's what he told me.
That's so good. Man, I'm going to use that. My team about to get a whole speech. About to use that.
Yeah. Awesome. Like, well, we are excited that you all have joined us. As you can see, God is doing and moving and just engaging with us. We're going to get through the rest of Real Life, Real Time, Real Talk with a Very Real God over the next few weeks. And then we're going to begin doing some major, major stuff, some more things. I'm excited that Marcus will be. You'll get to see Marcus. You'll get to see Elliot. You'll get to see Krista, Marcus's wonderful wife. I just love her, and I'm looking forward to how the Holy Spirit's going to move in the conversations that we have.
You love my wife.
I do.
I love her too.
I know you do.
I love her too.
You just ought to. You just better. But I'm excited about having her input and hearing what she has to say as relationship to the topics that we're going to be talking about. You have joined in to the Prophet's Voice podcast along with Opie Media Productions. This is an original purpose and intent of God. Amen. That's what we want to make sure that we're doing.
Yes,
if you're listening out there, I want to let you know you can join us at June 20th. I want to say June 20th. It's a Thursday night for 1 hour, 8 to 9 p.m. for the Power of Purpose Masterclass. It's free. You can go to our website, www.theprophetsvoice.net. You probably see it on the bottom of the screen, and you're going to be able to RSVP for that class. It is June 20th, Thursday, June 20th. From 8 to 9 p.m. And we're going to be talking about, you are a solution, you have the ability, and your time is now. Marcus, you got any closing remarks you want to say?
Hey, this has been great. Y'all make sure y'all tune in, go to the website, become a part of this awesome, awesome ministry. You will not be disappointed.
Amen. Elliot, you got anything you want to say?
No, I'm just excited about what the future holds for the Prophet's Voice and Opie Media Group.
Amen.
All right. It's a lot going on. We just ain't going to be doing podcasts, y'all. We just want to let you know. So listen out for us. We're excited. We are looking forward to all that God has to do. It's the Prophet's Voice, and we are thankful and grateful for you.